Okay? Here's the tree. It doesn't look very special, does it? Just looks like a tree. However, the baubles, well, I'll describe one to you. One was made out of solid gold and sprinkled with diamond dust. Okay? I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds expensive. Okay? In fact, all the baubles on the tree were made out of really expensive metals and precious jewels. And they think it cost about £12 million. What about this? The most expensive Christmas crackers. Anyone want to have a guess? Anyone? Yes, Emmanuel?
Golden crackers sprinkled gold.
Yeah, nice, Emmanuel. Anyone like to guess how much? Most expensive Christmas crackers ever? Yes, yes? Jamie? Have a guess. Anyone?
$5 million.
Oh, Jamie, that is very close. £4 million, okay? And instead of a yo-yo, or the little red fish thing, or the wee plastic moustache, you got diamond necklaces, okay? Or the keys to a very fancy car called an Aston Martin, okay? They must be pretty big crackers, that's all I can say. If your tastes are a little bit cheaper, here's the most expensive Christmas card, okay? It's not because it's made out of a really precious metal. It's really, really old. It dates back to the 1840s, and it costs £20,000 at an auction. Seems a lot, doesn't it? Although someone must be buying this very expensive stuff. Boys and girls, I don't want you to spend that much at Christmas ever, okay? Some people spend so much at Christmas, it takes months, sometimes years, to pay it all back. For other people, this Christmas is going to be really, really hard, in that they can't turn on the heating in their home, or they don't have enough money to buy food, and it's really sad. But I want to tell you one verse from the Bible, and I think it will get your attention this Christmas. It's from a letter written by a man called Paul to a church that he knew pretty well. He had some friends there in a city called Corinth. And one of the things he wrote to that church, just one verse, was this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Do you think we could say that together?
Yeah.
Yes, brilliant. Okay, we'll try it on three. One, two, three. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, if I've read that correctly, here is something Jesus wants us to know this Christmas. Jesus came to make us rich. Don't get too excited, okay? Okay, I'm going to explain what it means. Because it's rich in a different way from what you might think. But it is rich. Now, I'm not sure that the Lord Jesus here is saying that if we become a Christian, then he's going to give us lots and lots of money to buy lots and lots of toys. I'm not sure that's a very good idea. I think he's talking about a different kind of rich, a better rich. Riches that are so much better than the world's most expensive tree, or the world's most expensive cracker, or the world's most expensive card. Riches that one day will make those things look rubbish. So what are these riches? And what is this man Paul talking about? Well, here's the first thing I want to tell you, okay? It's a big, long one, okay? It's this. Jesus was rich, steady. Jesus was rich, but became poor. Okay, Jesus was rich, a big bag of gold, but became poor. That's an empty wallet for us. Who's that? Yeah, it's a pretty good likeness, isn't it? It's not bad. This is the first thing that this verse is telling us. Jesus is rich, but became poor for us. Now, imagine your picture was there, not me, okay? But it's for us. Look again at the verse. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, what was the name of the town the Lord Jesus was born in?
Bethlehem.
Brilliant, Nathan. Now, the story of the Lord Jesus born at Bethlehem is not a rags to riches story. It is a riches to rags story. You see, another part of the Bible, John's Gospel, tells us that Jesus didn't begin to exist when he was born at Bethlehem. John tells us that Jesus is the God of the universe who has always existed. It was Jesus who created all things. So Jesus created the stars and the planets. He created, I don't know, elephants and hippos and things like that. And he even created us.
Wow.
Yeah. The shepherds, the night Jesus was born, somehow saw the baby face of the God of the universe who's always existed. Isn't that amazing? Little Katie, where is she? Down there. The God of the universe, one, was as young as that. Now, here's something amazing. I don't know much about science, but I learned this week that it takes 8 minutes, 8 minutes, from the light from the sun to get to Earth. Okay? 8 minutes from the sun to the Earth. Now, there's probably someone here, but that, I looked it up. Has Google ever been wrong? Has it? That's what it told me. Okay, now, if a jumbo jet, which is one of the faster things that we've been able to invent, could fly to the sun,
no.
Do you know how long it would take? Remember, light, it takes 8 minutes to get from the sun to Earth. Do you know how long it would take if we flew a big plane like that to the sun? 90 years. 90 years. Jesus is the everlasting, eternal God of the Bible. The Bible says that he can make light and space and planets. Did anyone make a snowball on Monday? Anyone make a snowball? Jesus makes stars easier than we can make snowballs. That's how amazing he is. He had that kind of power. He was rich in every sense that we could think of. He had angels bowing down to him. He could make stars, and everything belongs to him, we're told. But he became poor. Now, I don't know if it happened like this, but just think in your imagination for a moment. In the Christmas story, Simon read that an angel called Gabriel appeared to Mary. Yeah? Yeah? Good. Yeah. Gabriel was sent to tell Mary what was happening. As I said, I don't know if it happened like this, but can you imagine the day that Gabriel was summoned before Jesus, before he was born as a baby, in heaven? And Gabriel, you sent for me, Lord? What can I do? Gabriel, I'm going to be shrunk to the size of a tiny human baby. And then I'm going to be put inside a Jewish woman called Mary. And I will be her baby. And that's the plan. You're going to do what? Eh? No. There must be another way. You must be doing something else. You're the God of the universe. And you're going to shrink down to that? And for these people who won't believe in you anyway? Is there another way? And the Lord said, that's the plan. Jesus became poor. Mary and Joseph are such an unattractive looking couple that they can't even get a room in Bethlehem. Jesus somehow came to make us rich by becoming poor. Jesus is born, we think, among the animals. He grew up a working man with a working job. He made or fixed things out of wood, we reckon. He never went to university and never owned a house. As far as we know, he never had a bank account. When he grew up, he died the death of a poor criminal. You know, when he died, he didn't even own his own grave. It had to be given to him by someone else. Jesus, who was rich beyond our wildest imagination, became poor. Born a little baby, totally dependent on his poor parents to live and die in poverty. Jesus was rich, unimaginably rich, but became poor for us. But there's something else this verse tells us. It's that we are poor, but Jesus makes us
rich.
We are poor, but Jesus makes us
rich.
Yeah. Let me look at that verse again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Here's where it's going to get a bit head scratching. You see, the Bible says, this verse is saying, that in some way, without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we're missing something. We're lacking something. We are poor. And you might be thinking, I'm not poor. I woke up in a house this morning with a bed, and I've got clothes, and I had breakfast, and I'm going to have lunch. I thought I was doing pretty well. But I don't think the Lord Jesus is speaking about money here again, okay? I think he's speaking it that we are poor before God. Here's what I mean. Who's this a picture of? King who? King Charles III. Well done, Jamie. Now imagine this Christmas, King Charles invited you to Christmas with his family. And he said to you, after breakfast, we're going to go for a walk. Would you like to come? And you said, no, I'm just going to go in my room and play. At lunchtime, he said, would you like to come and have lunch with us? And you said, no, I don't like turkey. Or imagine in the afternoon, he said, would you like to play some games with us? And you said, no, I don't like your games. I like my games. You would think that's very rude. But so often, that is how I treat God. That's how I treat the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he's given me everything, even though he wants me to have a close relationship with him, even though he created the stars and the planets and he made me, I spend so much of my life saying no to him. I'm going to go my way. We might not think we're very bad people, and on the surface, we may not be, but each of us have got things that we hope no one else ever finds out about, what the Bible calls sin. And God sees that we've lived life without him. And the Bible describes here that our lives are poor and broken without Jesus, without forgiveness. My sin makes me deserve God's punishment of hell rather than his good things. Before God, I am poor for turning away from him. But what's the great news of Christmas? Jesus has come to make us rich before God. Jesus became a human like us. As he died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. The punishment for all the times I've turned away from God and been poor towards God. He came to die to forgive every single time I've done that. He died in poverty to make me rich. And rich not with money, but with stuff that the Bible says is better and will last longer. Do you know one of the problems with money? Do I have any? You know one of the problems with money? Here's a tenner, Emmanuel. It's not for you. Okay? One of the problems with money, or a few of the problems, we might lose it. We might spend it on something that we thought was important at the time, but actually was a load of rubbish. Someone might take it off us. Or imagine our house caught fire and all our money was burned. My granny used to say about money, Dougie, well, she would have said Douglas, you can't take it with you, son. One day we'll die, and how much money we've had or what we've done with it, before God, it won't matter one bit. So how does Jesus make us rich? Well, imagine for a moment This was God's treasure chest. Okay, now God's treasure chest is much bigger than this. But for the purpose of this morning, go with me, okay? Imagine we had access to God's treasure chest and we could open it up and look in it. Now, oh wow, what's that in God's treasure chest? Okay, there's all sorts of things in God's treasure chest. Okay, oh, I see some over here. Okay, there's loads. Oh, let me go at the back. Yeah. Oh, Ken's got his hand up. Emmanuel, incoming. Okay. Okay. But imagine we'd access. There are all sorts of good things in God's treasure chest. And God's real treasure chest is enormous. Bigger than we could ever imagine. But I want you to see some of the things that God says make us really rich in his eyes. In God's treasure chest, there's forgiveness. At Christmas, the Lord Jesus came to make us rich. He came to forgive our sins. He came to say, we can be part of God's family. God loves us. He cares about us. And those who have been forgiven are to show a lot of forgiveness to others. God wants us to be rich in forgiveness. But there's more. God wants us to be rich in love. The Lord Jesus coming into the world shows us that God loves us. The Lord Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead shows us that God loves us. And God promises that his love will last forever. It'll never wear out. It won't go away. It'll never be misplaced. It'll never rust. It'll last forever. But there's more. There's joy. God wants us to have joy. And when the Lord Jesus comes into our life, as we ask him to forgive our sins, the Bible says God gives us his joy. And it's more than happiness. Happiness can be taken away if, you know, I don't know, we have a bad meal or someone upset. But joy, deep, lasting joy, God promises that will never go away. He wants us to be rich in joy. He wants us to be rich in peace as well. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, he came to make peace between us and God. And he promises that that peace will last forever.
Starts now will go on forever, and when he comes back, he's going to transform our world so the only good things are in it, good things that will last forever. And eternal life is available to every single one of us today. Now, you may be thinking, I'm really short of money, and I don't know if I can turn my heat on. Do you know what else God promises through the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything else that I need for whatever I face. Not what I want, but what I need. He promises that he's going to supply. Let me be clear, boys and girls. I'm not saying that if you become a Christian, you'll get pots and pots of money. But I heard recently about someone who became a Christian. He was very poor. He couldn't afford the world's most expensive anything. But he said this, I have nothing. But knowing Jesus, I have everything. Forgiveness, life as it's meant to be, peace, security, help every single day. We are poor, but Jesus makes us richer than we could ever believe. Jesus came to make us rich. Jesus was rich but became poor for us. We are poor, but Jesus makes us rich. What are we to do? accept the gift. Accept the gift this Christmas. Look at the verse one more time. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. How does it start? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word means undeserved kindness. He's come to make us rich, even though we don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it, but he comes to lift us out of our spiritual poverty anyway. Imagine it's Christmas morning. I've received a lovely gift from Tricia. Okay? Wouldn't it be weird if I said, oh, how much do I owe you for that? It would probably be a bit offensive as well. What's the right way to receive a gift? It's to accept it and say thank you. Whether we want them or not, Jesus cares about us. He came to make us rich in God's eyes. He came to die for us and rise again to bring us all of God's good things. And we can't pay for it. We have to accept it. I'm going to pray. If you want to accept the gift, maybe for the first time, why don't you pray quietly to yourself the words that I'm about to pray? Then come and find me afterwards. I'd love to chat about what we've discussed this morning. And maybe there's a book or something that I can give you that will help you explain what I said maybe in a little bit more depth. But let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am poor. I have sinned. I need to be forgiven. Please forgive me. Please make me rich